Blog Talk Radio.
Oh!
whole wide world if you give me Jesus. In exchange, let's exchange him in tonight. I exchange my troubles for Jesus. I exchange my worries for Jesus. I come today and I exchange all of my decisions that I try to make and I end up struggling with. I exchange that tonight for Jesus. I exchange my healing, my health for Jesus. What is it that you come today to exchange? We talk about the healing and the health. We talk about our decisions. We talk about different things that we say and do. But let's get a little bit more deep into it. Can we also offer up some deeper things? I offer up any lies that I may have told today. I ask for forgiveness and I surrender them to Jesus. If I have a problem with lying, can you surrender that today in exchange for Jesus? What about if you have a problem with adultery? Can you make up your mind right now, right here, today, that I will surrender and I will exchange my adultery, fornication? It may be molestation, I'm feeling. Someone is at the edge of that, and you're wanting to get away from that, and you're tired of being in that same old realm of things, and you want to do something different, but you don't know how. And I invite you right now, and I tell you, exchange it. Open your heart, open your hand, and just say right now, in the name of the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, I want to do as the minister is saying. I want to give this to you, and I want to, in exchange for you to give yourself to me, I want to invite you to come and fill up that void, fill up that space where I've been living my life in sin. Fill that void for me. Fill that void for me. Someone said, I'm giving up my grief tonight, that this grief is heavy, and I just can't carry it around anymore. I'm going to lose my mind if I don't decide that I got to lay this stuff down at the altar. But it's still that hole. I'm missing my loved one so much, and I don't know what to do with all of this emptiness inside of me. So tonight is the night. I invite you, my sister. Oh, you, my brother, my strong brother, I invite you now to exchange that grief for God's eternal love. Let him, invite him more. You said, I already know the Lord. Invite him more. God, I want more of you. He said, I'll fill you up till you can't fill any emptiness. He said, like he told the woman, if you drink of my water, you will never thirst again. That's what I'm actually trying to tell you tonight. I'm trying to get you full, so full, that when your head hits the pillow tonight, you will actually sleep. You will not toss and turn thinking about that lost loved one, thinking about how empty that bed is. Because you're going to see things a little different. You're going to see things in a way that you've never been able to open your mind up and open your eyes up and open your heart up to receive from God. God is not taking your loved ones to hurt you. Remember, he has gone ahead of us to prepare a place for us. That where he is, we're going to be also. So if that's the fact, that's something for excitement. If God chooses to, when God chooses to call us home, we all are going to receive that call. The old church used to say, get right, church. It's time to go home. So since we know not the time, we know not the day, we know not the hour, we know not where we're going to be with, who we're going to be with, where we're going to be standing and sitting, we don't even know what we're going to be thinking or saying. We need to always be mindful to the thing that our ticket is going to be pulled. But we need to start living right. We need to start being right. We need to start accepting the fact that this is not over. Everything that we're doing right now, it's not like it's hidden from God's sight. We got something ahead of us. So we have to remember to accept all that it is that God has for us. And sometimes our lying or our grief or our sin and adultery and fornication or getting caught up on arguing back and forth about religion and those things will get you so caught up that you will forget to work on your relationship with God to get things moving in the direction that you're up yelling about, the things that you're fighting about, the things that you're up pounding the streets in front of different buildings and different gay rallies and different things, the things that you're proclaiming to be the word of God. It's the way that you do it that you gives a waste of time, that it just becomes religion. And that religion will cause you to cross over some lines, do some things so that the things that you say that you're upholding, it will have you doing some of those same things. It'll have you with your mouth bringing forth words that are even worse than the ones that you're supposed to be protesting against. I encourage you to remember, vengeance is the Lord. And we, our job is to stay in prayer. Our job is to stay faithfully by each other in prayer, in the word, speaking and making our relationship stronger with each other. And we do that through our relationship with Christ. Through our relationship with Christ. God is a compassionate God. God is a compassionate God. Are you compassionate to your sisters and brothers? God is a patient God. Why are we so quick to lose our patience with our kids? Why is it that because we're a little bigger, we think our power, we overpower them. They don't even have a right to speak any longer because you're older than them. You're bigger than them. Why is that? God is bigger than you. You know all the times that he could have taken you out? Hallelujah. As you think back over your life, and I don't care what your age is, God has been good to you. God has spared your life. Some more than others because of our age. But God has been good to me. I think back as a little girl, way back on College Hill on East 10th Street. And if I think right, I think the house number was 415 East 10th Street. I think about all the some of the things that I did just being a daredevil on my bike and all the stunts I've tried and all the things I've jumped off of merry-go-rounds going as fast as they can, and I would roll and get up, and me and Reggie, my brother, would get up and do it again and just, and then I go on past that to being in physical fights and enjoying it and going through things like that. God still protected. I'm still here. I think about it as I moved on, and then as I go through life myself and at night making the choice to go somewhere by myself and ended up being stranded or car stopped and I'm somewhere out by myself. This is before cell phones. And then somebody have to stop to help me, and I have to trust in God that this is the person that should be stopping. God has been good to me. God has been good to me. I think about in college just an incident where a young man got the wrong idea and decided that he was going to, that I had, led him on, and he felt like it was worth my life. But God saw other ways. God has been good to me. He allowed me to raise my kids, and as they go through, have went through many different things, and he still kept me in my mind in the right place to still do the right things. God has been good to me. And then even going through the loss of my son and then other loved ones, and recently my sister-in-law, and to see my brother go through that and to see her go through as cancer moved through her body. God has been good to me. Now it's your time You don't have to tell me what it is, but you should challenge yourself to every day. Think back on what God has done for you and yours. And give him praise. Give him praise because God is a good God. And you don't even have to go way back to your childhood to think. As you continue to give him praise, you can start on a daily basis. I can start from this morning with him waking me up. First of all, even for my job, for some reason my alarm was set at a different time today. But God touched me and woke me up to make sure, hey, get up and go where you need to go. Be where you need to be. Because he's a punctual God. And he wants me to be punctual. He wants me to live the life that I speak about. That's a blessing. You said, oh, that's just nothing. That is a blessing. That's a good thing. Because he knows in my heart, the desires of my heart is to be on time. I'm kind of a stickler. I don't like being late to places. God is a good God. He's my alarm clock. When I got up, I noticed that my family was still moving. My family was doing fine. I noticed I had food in the refrigerator. I still have sisters and brothers and my lovely mother still alive on this side. God is good to me. God is good to me. God is so good to me. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for all the small things. Just out on my daily walk today, the clouds started to get a little dark. And the trail that I walked is kind of like just all open space. And it would have been nowhere for me to run to. And here in San Antonio, we hardly ever get rain. So you can, we just don't hardly get rain throughout the year. We just don't get rain. But the clouds start to get dark. And then I saw a streak of lightning go across the sky. And, of course, who do a child calls when they're in trouble? I call my dad. I said, Father in heaven, you know what's best for me. You know how far it is before I get back to my house. I ask that you just hold back your rain. Let me be able to complete my walk, my exercise for the day. You know the goodness that it's doing for me. And let me get back to the house. Praise be the name of the Lord. He did just that. Moved the rain completely away. The clouds, by the time I got around back to my house, the clouds had lifted all the darkness, and there was light. And we still haven't got any rain. I just thank God. I know that we need some rain, and he'll give it to us as we need it. I thank God he heard my prayers. He heard my prayers. You said, oh, Minister Vine, that is so minute. That's who he is. He takes care of all of my needs. He said I can bring all of my requests to him. He didn't put a limit on it. None at all. He said all of them. And that's exactly what I do. I lean and depend on him. And then he said, I have the choice. I take those choices after I hear from him, and I do something. And if you say, well, I don't always hear from him. Well, after you speak with him, go for it. Start moving in that direction for where you think that you're supposed to be at. And if it's not, he will stop you. If it is so, he will give you directions and verify that for you. But still carry it to him. Everything. Oh, what needless pain that we bear. All because we do not carry it to the Lord in prayer. All because we carry it to our sisters and they give us the wrong answer. All because we take it to our jobs and they just talk about us and scandalize our name. All because we get so weird that if we just have a pity party, invite nobody else but pity, shame, and all the tissues that you can hold. But needless pain we bear. All because we choose to not carry it to the Lord in prayer. And then our minds can only handle so much. And so then we look around and we flip out. Flesh flips out. The mind says, I can't control it anymore. It's too much. I can't hold it. You're not giving this over to your creator. You're trying to make me hold it. I'm not holding it. So your heart starts to give out. You find that your lungs say, I can't even breathe for you. I can't even pump pump air back and forth any longer. You're holding it too much. It's too much stress. This is not the way we were built. You're supposed to get this stuff over. And so our bodies break down. Our minds break down, which causes our families to break down. We end up with divorces. We end up with the kids now suffering from this. We end up going to our jobs and just going off on some people, losing our employment. So now we lose all of our income, our livelihood. And from there, it just trickles down and downward and downward. And until we reach up and realize that, hey, I'm falling here. I need to catch a hold of something. I'm falling. And throw our hands in the air and say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help, I know. If thou withdraw, thou suffer me, where other shall I go? My mother's verse is, I look to the hills from which cometh my help. Because all of my help cometh from the Lord. I love that. I love that. We have a on one of my conference lines, and I will invite all of you all to come. We get family and friends, and we all call in on my conference line, and we all are required to bring in a favorite verse, favorite Bible verse. And we exchange our favorite Bible verses and maybe what part of life that you acquired this Bible verse. And believe me, we have many to bring, and we have to limit ourselves because the word is just that good. But it's so important that you have the word inside of you to live on. Some people say, well, I have a song that I live on. And now it's up to you to look and see, what is it that's carrying you through? It may be that you have to run out and smoke that cigarette, and that nicotine is what you're living on. And you may be embarrassed to admit that. But think about it. If you're still telling yourself, oh, I can quit any time, think about that. And make sure that it goes according to your word. It could be shopping, the thing that you're relying on. Whatever it is, whatever it is, make sure that you're recognizing it. Come face to face with your fault. Take it over to the Lord and leave it there. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for our love. I thank you for our time. I thank you for my family. Dear Father, I thank you for Gabriel Gamet in North Carolina and the situation as you have just blessed that young man. He has been a blessing to so many others. And I thank you, dear Father, that regardless of how things started out, in his travels to North Carolina, but you have the ending already worked out. And as his mother travels to be with him during these upcoming months, thank you for her excitement about your just moving ways. Thank you for the excitement that she's, even though she's nervous and a little anxious about leaving San Antonio and going to a totally different place for these few months until all of this is over. She already is excited, though, because she knows that you are going to make a way. You're God. And through it all, they've always been praising you. She sees what you've done in her son's life, and she sees what you're continuing to do in their life. And the circumstances, dear Father, for the other families that are involved, God, I ask right now that you just bless their hearts, that just continue to comfort them through their grief, through their mourning, through their loved ones. God, and I ask that you just bring them all together, the Gamet family and the other families. Bring them together, dear Father, like a way that only you can do. Let them have peace amongst each other. Bring peace amongst each other. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Dear Father, we pray tonight for all chokeholds to be let loose off of Courtney Turner. We pray, dear Father, and we thank you for hearing his prayers, hearing the prayers of his mother, Crystal, hearing the prayers of his grandmother, Beatrice, and all of his friends and families and siblings. We thank you, dear Father, for always being a blessing over this child's life. Even when doctors have said differently, you've always spoke your word, and your word is much louder than any other voice, whether it's the doctor, whether it's our daily enemy, your voice is always much louder. And one thing about it, your voice is always the truth. And we thank you for your voice. We thank you for doing you instead of listening to any choices that we even may say. Even when we want to give up, you still prevail. And I thank you, dear Father, for that. I thank you right now for their peace. I thank you right now for their joy. I thank you right now for their understanding. I'm thanking you right now, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Dear Father, I just want to thank you for Chris Harwell. And as he, Master Sergeant Chris Harwell, as he is over fighting, giving up his life, his time, his away from his family, just to put his life on the line that my life, that his life, his kid's life, his brother's life, that his life may be stand forth and represent all of us, all of us. I thank you for watching over him. I thank you, dear Father, for in the midst of all of that that's going on, for peace, speaking peace in his ear, whispering peace in his mind, surrounding his heart with peace. So in the midst of all the things that may be going around, he's filled with so much peace that even those around him cannot understand it. So let him continue to share that peace. Let him continue to share that peace wherever he may go, with every word that he may speak. I ask you to go inside of him, and anything that you see that should not be, whether it's in his verbal speech, whether it's in his health, however it may be, if his eyes is lusting after something that is not of you, I ask you, Father, that you stop it right now in the name of Jesus. Correct it right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Dear Father, I thank you, dear Father, for just being you. I ask you to bless his wife, Priscilla, and his three sons, Adrian, OJ, and Kyron, as they're in Japan, waiting for his return. We ask you to continue to bless their decisions. Keep them strong. Keep them healthy. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for them. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what all you're doing in our cities, in our states, in our countries. And as we come up on election times, dear Father, I just ask that you just show us, dear Father, what it is that you want us to see in this. That we not get hooked up on names, but we get hooked up on you. And we understand truly who you are. And anything or anybody who denies that Jesus Christ is the only way to our Heavenly Father, may it be revealed and eyes may see. And regardless of how many fancy words are said, that we look beyond and see. Have you surrendered your life to Christ? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior? And then we make our decisions. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And dear Father, all strongholds that are being held, choking out your people tonight, dear Father, we ask, dear Father, that you just reach out and touch and let them receive, that they may know that there's nothing too much for you. And as they decide and make up in their mind, today is the day that I'm going to surrender. I've had these restraints around me too long, but I'm going to surrender. And when I surrender, I believe that I'm going to be as God told me to be. I'm going to be able to be fruitful. I'm going to be able to multiply. I'm going to be able to stop the lion. Because the lion is not of God. You said, but it was a lie to protect this person And then that lie goes on to protect something else. But lying is not of God. You say, well, I've been doing it so long. I've been in this so long. So how do I just stop that? Just tell yourself, flesh, I'm going to stop that. And know that it's going to be a day-to-day thing. And so give it over to God and tell him what your needs are. And here's my request. Touch me in whatever way you need me to be touched when I lie. Touch me in whatever way when I lust after a man or a woman. Shake me up and remind me that I want to be more like you. When I decide that I'm going to not give up off of myself and go work, but I'm going to go and break in someone else's home, when I'm going to molest somebody, when I'm going to be abusive, whatever it is that the situation is that you know that is not of God, I dare you to just bring it to him. If you really want to make corrections in your life, if you really want to make corrections in your life, all you have to do is bring that and submit it to God. God sees all. He knows all. And he wants to help all. He wants to bring you to a place in your life that your relationship with him is just tight. Closer than any brother. Closer than your spouse. You need to find out what's choking you. What's holding you down. Who's holding you down? Are you thinking too small? Do you think you don't deserve more than what you have? That's a chokehold that's holding you down. You will lose your harvest overthinking. Let me just be healed from the cancer, but I'll just live with diabetes. Let me be healed from the diabetes, but I'll just go ahead and live with this bursitis. That's a chokehold. It's a chokehold when you've been touched and delivered. That's what God sets free. You're free indeed, whether you believe it or not. So if he's freed you from whatever ailment it is, mentally, physically, spiritually, if he's freed you, and you're excited about that freedom for just a little bit, and then you just found yourself going right back in that same pattern around the same crowd talking about, oh, my bursitis, oh, my, I got to have this here. I have to have a drink. Oh, I'm hooked. Oh, I'm just, my daddy was a player. I'm a player. Whatever it is, that's a lie. That's a lie from Satan. He's the father of all lies. All of your lies come from him. So when you're lying to yourself about your healing, about whatever it is, your movement, and you know you're supposed to be moving and you're still sitting, remember, you've been directed. You've been led by the enemy itself. So it doesn't matter how many songs you get up in the choir and sing. It doesn't matter how loud you put your music up. It doesn't matter how big your Bible is. If you're not willing to submit yourself before the Lord, come clean before the Lord, all the way open. I'm not listening, but you and the Lord, come clean with the Lord. You'll never be at the place where you need to be. You'll never see any growth in your life. You will always see yourself giving up. You will always see taking one step and falling back two. You will always have loss in your life. You deserve the best. You deserve the best. Whenever God tells me to do something impossible, I'm learning to remove the chokehold. I'm learning to remove what looks like a long ways ahead before I get to that journey's end. I'm learning not to allow that to be a chokehold. I'm learning to look at it as the other way. My glass is not half empty. It is so half full, and I'm halfway there from where I need to be. I am one step closer. I tell my granddaughter, as she's on the basketball team at her high school, and she comes home and she's like, well, you know, it's pretty tough, and I got to do this, and now it's this, and we're really pushing it. But I see myself getting better, she would say. I'm a little better at it, at doing this than I was before. And I just keep telling the baby. I made her start a journal every day to come in and write how you feel that day in this journal. Because this journal is going to be the biggest inspiration to you one day. And you're going to be able to use this journal even when your granny's age. if you keep doing the same thing, just taking one step at a time, one day at a time, you will look back in your journal of life and see the progression that God has brought you through. That's what God is about. He wants to bring you through. Don't be afraid to remove those chokeholds. Don't be afraid to keep on fighting even when you feel like I don't have no other power left inside of me. Just lift your hands again and say, Lord, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. I need you to carry me now. I need your strength right now. And he'll be there for you. He would do exactly what he said he would do. He said, I will hold you and comfort you. I will pick you up and carry you. He said, I'm always there. I will never leave you. I'm never going to turn my back on you. I'm never going to forsake you. There's nothing that you can do that I won't stand and be there with you. Thus said the Lord. God, thank you. We thank you, Jesus. My sisters and brothers, do you know Jesus? Is this your opportunity to come a little closer, build in that relationship? If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, that person that you can run to in times of good times, bad times, troubles, trials, and tribulations, that you run to, not that you run to me and ask me to pray, that's a wonderful thing, but that you can now run to and pray for yourself. I just like to take this opportunity to introduce you to that person. And as you say these words, if you believe these words in your heart, you will be born again. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me for my sins. I ask you to cleanse me, cleanse my heart. Make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. And I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on that cross. And I receive you in my heart as my Lord and Savior. In your name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, it's important to reach out to someone. You can contact me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Walkwithmegod@aol.com. Friends, you have a brand new life in Jesus to look forward to. He loves you. I love you, but remember, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I. See you the next time. Bye-bye. Grace and go.
Through test and trial, I've been through. You have been my place of refuge, my shelter. From the